Well, the first thing I need to do, being acoustically challenged, is to make sure everybody can hear me without... All right, does anybody have a problem hearing me? Please raise your hand if so. All right? Good. Thank you. That is of great satisfaction to me. I guess that I am pretty close to being the senior journalist in this assemblage, chronologically, not meritoriously, but chronologically, and this has to do with the call of our Lord a couple of years ago to the great Stan Evans for the receipt of the reward that he was due for meritorious service in the cause of honest journalism, honest conservative journalism, over the period of a great many years. But what this means primarily in terms of my seniority is that I remember we used to stuff copy paper in vacuum tubes that we would then send down to the composing room. And I remember the roar of the printing presses. And I remember the shouts of the paper boys peddling our product. Oh, those were good days. They were good days. There was not a golden age. I was glad to hear David say that there was not a golden age of Walter Cronkite when we did everything right and meritoriously and were due the thanksgiving of the American people in exchange for it. The fact of the matter is that the problem of media bias goes back a long way. You might remember, I think probably most of the people in this room will remember, when Vice President Agnew, at the instance of President Nixon, launched his attacks on the effete core of impudent snobs in the media. What a wonderful phrase. That came from Bill Sapphire of the New York Times. The problem has been gradual in appearance, but it has become very large. And I have, I think, some experience to talk about it, therefore. And I'm going to be blunt. And I think that my distinguished colleagues on the rostrum today would join me in this assessment. Nursing wounds and grievances will not get us anywhere. No matter how deep those wounds, no matter how terrible and painful. I read an editorial one time, I think it was in National Review, it may have been a column. I wish I remembered who said this, but I remember it very well. Conservatives think that they can damp down revolution with editorials. My friends, they can't. They never could, and they especially can't now. I've tried it. I became a columnist for one of the local newspapers in Dallas in 1969, and I tried as hard and arduously as I could to turn back the forces of revolution, gathering them about us. Oh, my, what a great success I made of it. But we can do something. And what I think will make a difference is two words. And those words are, that's enough. That's enough. We're not going to put up with very much longer what has been inflicted upon us in the name of liberally processed truth and righteousness. But those words have to precede action. Action. That's the important word. And I'll explain. We're right, generally. They're wrong, generally. I do not say exclusively because I understand the fall of man and the terrible plight into which we fell in the second chapter of Genesis. It's been a very long time, my friends. It's been a very long time since man can stand upright before God. But what I'm speaking of in particular here is the much abused and abjured canons that our profession has rejected. Canons that stem from a deep-seated idea that took hold upon our profession in the 20th century and into which I married when I joined the profession in 1964. The old idea was that the media didn't determine truth. The media didn't determine truth. Not in a democracy. Here's what the media did. The media gathered information, and it put that information in a form that was comprehensible to the people who consumed it. Readers, viewers, people who cogitated on it and made decisions according to their understanding of the facts that were put before them. I used to make a lot of speeches about the media. I've done that for decades and decades, dating back to the 1970s. And I had a sort of a mantra that I devised about our role, and it was this, which was, we are your eyes. We are your ears. We're not your brains. You do your thinking. You think and then decide what you believe. We don't tell you what to believe, except that old maxim has gone by the boards. The idea now is a new rule, namely, listen up and do what I tell you. That's what we hear from the pulpits of the media today. Well, my friends, it's time to slaughter a few sacred cows. By intellectual, intelligent, concerted action on the part of those who believe in, shall we say, speaking broadly, the ideals of Western civilization and of the religion that has animated Western civilization from the start. There are various things in which we must have a say. One, CRT, this race theory that has been inflicted upon the citizenry, is intellectual fraud. Intellectual fraud. Number two, identity as a personal option left up to the individual to decide for himself or herself what happens to be true about himself or herself. The third thing would be, in my estimation, be religion as a barrier to intelligent thought. A fourth thing would be American history as a series of crimes against people of color. A fifth thing would be liberty as a scheme meant to make the rich richer. And a sixth thing might be the federal government as the first and last responder to every human crisis and vexation. And that's for starters. I could go on. But then the question becomes, how to do it? I think we can all identify as members of the Philadelphia Society and longtime attenders at these conferences. And by the way, I think the conference today has been, the conference this weekend has been exemplary in putting before those who are here some of the prime elements of correct understanding as to the crisis that we face. But how do we do this? Well, I'll tell you what. I call first upon my role model, Lady Macbeth, for guidance. If we don't screw our courage to the sticking point, and we'll not fail. But courage is what it will take. C-O-U-R-A-G-E, bravery, hardihood, valor. And what does that involve? It involves the ability to stand up to abuse directed from the other side. It involves, at a minimum, not caring what the other side says. From knowing that the other side, while entitled to the free speech that underlies the rights that we all enjoy, is mistaken. It takes courage. We've got to be able to call nonsense nonsense. We've got to be able to call lies lies. I've got a 15-minute window here, which I may have exceeded already. And I cannot speak in the broad terms that I would speak if I had more opportunity and leisure so to do. But I want to make the power. What I want to do is to make the power of truth irresistible through communication. To make the power of truth irresistible through communication. The media, the existing media, don't wait for the existing media to catch on to what we're doing. Just do it. We don't need the existing media. We don't need the existing media. They're not going to reform. They're not going to change. We have to do new things. We've got to find outlets. And I think we can, in this electronic communications age, we have the Federalist. We have modes of communication via the Internet and social media that have not yet been thought of. We need to operate in an intellectually, in an informal and concerted fashion, speaking as conservatives, joined by organizations like the Heritage Foundation, started by my good friend Ed Fulner, and brought to a fruition that was truly useful in a period of crisis. The American Enterprise Institute, the ISI, the IPI from Dallas, we have all manner of institutions, but that we can use to coordinate our approach to telling the truth once we find the outlets, and then we'll create new outlets. Based on trust and respect and decency and love. I was so heartened this afternoon to hear about the impending formation of the University of Texas at Austin. I mean, the University of Austin. Excuse me. I went to that other one, and that's why I tripped off the tongue so flawlessly. But this is an instance of how independent operation can bring about reform and regeneration. If we do this, the market will regenerate itself. It will create its own demand, its own audience. This will happen. This is the way marketplaces work. I hope the libertarians among us today understand exactly what I'm talking about. This much do I believe in the people of the United States, in their character, in their goodwill, in their understanding of their own heritage and the necessities that they face at this time. Barry Weiss, a very admirable young lady who resigned from the New York Times because of their distortion of the coverage of the news, said in her resignation to A.G. Sulzberger something that I think is eminently true and needs to be taken into consideration at all times. She said, I've always comforted myself with the notion that the best ideas win out. But ideas cannot win on their own. They need a voice. They need a voice. They need a hearing. Above all, they must be backed by people willing to live by them. And that's you. Thank you very much.